So we're going to be looking at faith this morning. If you guys want to start turning in your Bibles to, well, no other than Ephesians chapter 2. And as you guys are turning there, faith is the one thing that's foundational to every one of us as Christians. Because faith is the one thing that we all have. If you are saved, you have faith right now. So, Father, we thank you for your word this morning. Lord, we thank you for giving your word as an example to us. We thank you for giving your word to us. Lord, we believe everything that it says. Lord, we have faith to believe that. God, give me the anointing of Samuel that not a single word would fall to the ground. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So Ephesians 2, starting in verse 8, for by grace you have been given you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. So we're saved through faith. It's that faith that sets us to where we need to go. It's that faith that tells us that our name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And faith is exactly what we need for trusting in God's Word. So maybe we should define what faith is or what it's not. So in Hebrews, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So hope is our substance here. It fills us, it satisfies us, even before we ever see the results. We always look to the future with faith. We're always looking to the future, and it has a bit of expectation to it. Faith tells us that it will happen. It is what we're looking for. And it's what God's already promised us, and we're going to see that through. One of the keys here, too, is that we're looking at things not seen. We're looking into the invisible realm. Now, we may conduct ourselves in the seen, but it's in that unseen that so much affects the world around us. There's so much going on that we have no realization until we have the revelation of what God's doing in the unseen. That unseen is when you start realizing the kingdom of God. That unseen is when you start realizing the healings, when you start realizing the gifts that come forth, the prophecy that comes forth. Faith isn't something in the now. It's not something of our own strength. I don't have faith that I can lift this book up. I know I can, because it's my own strength. I know that I can do that on my own. Faith comes when God steps in and does what we can't do. So we need to look at our faith and where we're operating in it. Each one of us has been given a measure of faith. It says that in the Bible. It says that each one of us has been given a measure of faith. For some of us, it's we barely see past salvation. For some of us, we see way beyond that, and we realize where we are in the kingdom. Jesus talked plenty of times about people's faith and how their measure was. Jesus told Peter that he was a man of little faith. He even prayed that his faith wouldn't fail when Peter was going to deny him three times. He told a Roman centurion that he has not seen such great faith out of somebody, because he knew that Jesus realized that he was a man under authority and that recognized authority, and that he didn't even have to go with him to save or to heal his son. He told a woman that had an oppressed daughter, great is your faith, because she wouldn't give up. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. In fact, it's one thing that it does, or that does please God, is us realizing our faith and operating in it. So maybe you're thinking already about where your faith is. And that's okay. It's important to reflect back on where we are. I've been doing it plenty as I prepared this message. And it's been speaking to me. And so many times, I don't even know if I really give these messages for you guys as much as a lot of times they just speak to me myself. So where's your level of faith at? I'm willing to say, you guys probably have more faith than you do think. Because Jesus said, if you have a faith as a mustard seed, you can tell this mountain to be moved. If you have faith as a mustard seed, you can start calling in the young people to this congregation. If you have faith as a mustard seed, you can start calling in that person that's walked away from the faith. You can start calling in those prodigals, the wayward sons, the lost. So Romans 10:17 says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, I'm looking at a lot of people in here in this room that I know have been saved longer than I have. How much have you heard? How many sermons have you heard in your lifetime? I mean, just in 1 year alone, if you come every Sunday, that's 52 messages. If you come on Wednesdays, that's, 104? That's just 1 year. That's not to mention any that you may hear from somebody like Tim Sheets, somebody that you may hear where it's a message where somebody heard it and they gave it to you to listen to as well, special speakers. So you guys have probably heard plenty. You know, one of the things we do here a lot of times too is there's a lot of times where Pastor Rick will start out with some confessions of faith that we would do a lot of times. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And it's a lot of repeat after me. And that repeat after me isn't for channeling your own inner 9-year-old BBS self. It's for you to recognize who you are in Christ. Every single one of those items on that list is something that the Bible tells you that you are. I'm only what the Word of God says I am. No more, but absolutely no less. That's important to activate your faith there. To realize when you read that, that you are powerful in faith. I'm going to go to Hebrews 11. You don't have to turn there. I'm just going to read off a bunch of people. It's been known as the Hall of Faith. And there's so many passages in this one chapter that says, by faith. So by faith, Abel offered a sacrifice that he knew God would accept. By faith, Enoch was taken away with God, his body never found on the earth. By faith, Noah built the ark. By faith, no rain had fell yet, but he started building that ark by faith. And that faith wasn't exactly overnight either. He spent probably about 75 years building the ark. How many know? It's hard sometimes for me to even see a promise beyond 3 months, let alone 75 years. By faith, Abraham obeyed and went to a place that he didn't know where he was going. By faith, Sarah received strength in her old age to conceive a child and to bear it. She was no spring chicken either. But God strengthened her by her faith. He turned her into a 30-year-old woman. By faith, Abraham offered up Isaac, the promise that God told him that he was going to establish a nation through his offspring. But by faith, he took Isaac up on the mountain to sacrifice him, not knowing that God was going to interrupt the plans once he saw his faith. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning the things to come. By faith, Jacob blessed each of the sons of Joseph. By faith, Joseph mentioned the departure of Israel and gave instructions declaring his bones. By faith, Moses was hidden for 3 months by his parents before putting him in the Nile River to be found by Pharaoh's daughter. By faith, Moses himself decided he did not want to be part of Pharaoh's family, even though he was given up being one of the highest positions in the land, being part of the biggest family there. By faith, Moses chose not to fear Pharaoh representing God. By faith, Moses observed the Passover to keep the angel of death from visiting those who followed the instructions. By faith, Moses parted the Red Sea and they traveled across by dry land. By faith, Joshua, think about how foolish this may have seemed to everybody at the time, but by faith, they marched around Jericho 7 times before the walls fell. By faith, Rahab received the spies. And then the writer of Hebrews goes on to talk about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets. Now, we're reading through the Bible right now as a church, you know. And right now we're going through Ezekiel. I'm pretty sure Ezekiel seems to probably be about the most odd out there with some of the stuff that he's been doing. He laid on one side for 390 years, and then or 390 days, and then the other side for 40 days, baking bread with manure, chopping up all of shaving off his hair, dividing it into 3 parts by weight, and declaring all kinds of things. I mean, only faith can really convince you to do a lot of things. Each of these people did what they needed to do in faith. One of the things you see here is action always follows their faith. If you remember nothing else from today, remember that. Action always follows their faith. 2 Corinthians 5, it says in verse 7, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." And if you have a different version, it may say, "We live by faith, not by sight." Elsewhere in Galatians, it says that the just live by faith. So, every one of those, live or walk. I've seen some of Addison's homework lately, and they've been going through the different parts of a sentence. Well, that's a verb. And a verb is almost always something with action. So we need to put feet to our faith. So if you guys want to start turning in your Bibles over to Mark, the Gospel of Mark, chapter 5. And this passage of Scripture it may look familiar to a lot of the women, because Ashley used the same story when she ministered at the women's meeting last month. And we come across in verse 21 of Mark 5. And it says, "Now when Jesus had crossed over again by boat to the other side, a great multitude gathered to him, and he was by the sea. And behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue came, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and begged him earnestly, saying, 'My little daughter lies at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be healed, and she will live.' So Jesus went with him, and a great multitude followed him and thronged him." Continue in verse 25. "Now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years, and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. So when she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, 'If only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well.' And immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, 'Who touched my clothes?' But his disciples said to him, 'You see the multitude thronging you, and you say, "Who touched me?" And he looked around to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction." And while he was still speaking, some came from the ruler of the synagogue's house who said, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, "Do not be afraid, only believe." And he permitted no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. Then he came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and saw a tumult and those who wept and wailed loudly. When he came in, he said to them, "Why make this commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping." And they ridiculed him. But when he had put them all outside, he took the father and the mother of the child and those who were with him, and entered where the child was lying. Then he took the child by the hand and said to her, "Talitha kumi," which is translated, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." And immediately the girl arose and walked, for she was 12 years of age, and they were overcome with great amazement. So there are actually two stories of faith in this one interaction. First one we see here is Jairus, and he had heard about Jesus and heard that Jesus was coming, and he was waiting for him. He heard and he acted. Faith came when he heard, and then he was seeking. And even when the woman basically brought that whole crowd to a halt, he didn't push his way, but rather he waited. And then Jesus told him a little bit later, "Believe." Even once they heard that his daughter was dead, "Believe." He's looking past the now. He was looking to the future. And he was looking at the supernatural that was coming. So, of course, the other story we have here is the woman who had been bleeding. She had heard of Jesus, and she had been actively trying to be healed from her affliction. She even spent her entire life savings trying to chase that healing, trying to chase what the doctors can do for her, trying to chase what could be done in the now. But she heard of Jesus coming. She also put faith in action. And what she did was actually very risky for her, because in those days, that would have been somebody that was completely unclean, somebody that wasn't supposed to be around anybody else. And in fact, she actually defiled every single person she pushed out of the way, elbowed out of the way, tried to push through that crowd to get to Jesus. She got through all the people, and then she started having to push the disciples out of the way, and even Jesus when she touched them. But the real story of faith is in her interaction with Jesus after Jesus turned around. Because Jesus realized that power had gone from him. But it was that redemption that he had with her interaction there, that when he asked, "Who touched me?" she could have just kind of shrunk back out, got through the entire crowd, just kind of went back and kind of tried to duck out. But she realized that confession out of her mouth probably kept her healing, because she admitted that it was her. She knew that she could have been stoned for touching people. She could have been killed for that. But she followed through on her faith. And Jesus told her that her faith is what had made her well. This story is actually one that I pulled from some of the teaching from Isom. And a lot of you probably know who Oral Roberts is. And Oral Roberts, for those of you who may be too young to know who he was, he used to have all kinds of healing crusades, and he'd go out and preach the gospel, and they would set up a huge tent. The first one sat about 10,000 to 15,000 people, and the second one is what they would call the invalid tent. So basically people who were in wheelchairs, people who were, actually they would pull people out of the hospitals, and they bring them and set them down in the invalid tent, and that's where he would pray for people after he preached the gospel, And then they would do some worship in the main tent. He'd go over, pray for people, and then go back and pray for people in the main tent again. And so he'd pray for hundreds of people every night. And he would pray until he was absolutely exhausted. One night he had finished praying for everybody in both tents, and he was walking past the invalid tent, and most of the times it would be emptied out. And he was walking past the opening of it, and he stopped. Something caught his eye. There was a boy in there who was crippled at birth, and one leg was about 8 inches shorter than the other leg. And so that was nothing new to him. He was exhausted. He already prayed for everybody. But there was something about this boy that God told him to stop and go take a second look. And he went and looked. And what it was is he had brought a pair of tennis shoes. With his leg being 8 inches shorter than the other one, he had a shoe that had basically a platform built in, so that way he could actually walk without falling over. And so Oral Roberts started seeing that, and he was like, so he stopped and he's like, well, is there something going on, little boy? He's like, yeah, I'm waiting for Oral Roberts. Okay. Well, why are you waiting for him? Well, God's going to heal me through him. He's like, okay. Do you know who I am? No, sir. Well, I'm Oral Roberts. Oh, excellent. So he goes and he takes the brace off of his leg, and his leg had absolutely no meat to it because he hadn't been able to put any weight on it, really. So he has a shriveled up leg. He takes his 8-inch tall shoe off, and he's like, okay, now I'm ready. So Oral Roberts no sooner put his hand out and barely touched the top of his head, and all of a sudden, I mean, he didn't even start praying, and that leg started growing out. He just saw that whole thigh just whoop, back to the size of the other one. He saw that whole leg pop, 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 straighten out. And I mean, Oral Roberts, I think, was standing there just kind of looking, and the boy was like, well, thank you. He goes over, puts those pair of tennis shoes on, takes his crutches, throws them over his shoulder, takes that other 8-inch tall shoe, throws it over the other shoulder, and goes running off to go tell his mom what just happened. That boy had faith. He had so much faith that he brought a brand new pair of shoes because he knew God was going to heal him that night. Wow. I'm encouraged by that. Yes. Praise God. That was, I think, part of like the first or second semester, and that story stuck with me that much. That boy had faith. So just a few weeks ago, Pastor Rick preached on prayer. And it's an important thing to remember when we're praying, it's a two-way street. And it's always part of listening for God's response. I mean, you guys all know me. You know I like to stay busy. I like to be going and going and going. And so sometimes I just have to tell myself to shut up and listen for God. Stop moving and listen for God. Because it's when we listen for God, He starts telling us what we need to do. When we start listening for God, He starts telling us who we need to go talk to. He lays people on our hearts. He starts telling us what it is that our next steps are going to be. And once God tells you something, make sure you act on it, because otherwise you're just about to the point where we all have sins of commission, where it's something we do that we know we're not supposed to do, but we also have sins of omission, where it's something that we were supposed to do that we didn't do. And sometimes it's easy to miss that second one. Now, a lot of you guys know our daughter, Gracie. She's a little almost 4 years old now. Wow, 4 years old. But she's almost 4-year-old that's been running around here now. And Some of you were here before we had Gracie. Some of you have come in since we've had her. You may not have heard what we went through when we were trying to conceive for Gracie. It took a year for us to conceive with Addison, our oldest daughter, so we knew it may take a little bit of time. Well, a year came and went with Gracie, and we weren't having anything take with trying to conceive. So we started seeking doctor appointments and started looking at infertility and everything. And with Addison, we had started doing tests locally, and of course they always want you to do all the local tests before you go get referred to any specialists. And one thing with infertility is none of that is ever covered by, or rarely covered by, insurance. So everything we were doing was all coming out of our pockets. And so we had been trying for probably almost 2 years by the time we ended up with a specialist down in Indy. And when we got down there, we had already been to done all kinds of other tests. And whenever you change doctors, a lot of times they want you to do the same tests that you've already done. Well, we started talking to this doctor, and he pretty well had a good idea of what was going on before we even did any tests. And so then we did an ultrasound that day, and he confirmed, yep, polycystic ovaries is what you guys are fighting. But he had also been, with some of the other tests, he was like, Ashley, you need to have a hysterectomy. And so basically whatever we did for trying to have kids, he wanted to do it kind of quickly. And so we're sitting in his office and we're talking to him, and they give us a couple of different options. And immediately I heard from God going, nope, that's not what you guys need to do. You need to have her naturally. So he's like, okay. The doctor was like, okay, well, here's your options of what we can still do then, trying to go that route. And we ended up having her naturally. Without having to have a hysterectomy at the time, and we were able to conceive Gracie. Even with somebody that has MD after their name, doctor in front of it. So they, in all worldly thinking, are the experts. It would have been the easy route for us to take and listen to them and say, okay, yeah, we want to have kids. I mean, trust me, Ashley and I, it was almost consuming us at times because we wanted to have another kid. And it was so easy, we could have just gave in and said, yeah, we're going to take the easy way out. I'd like to tell you that it was quickly after the doctor, or after we'd made that decision, but it wasn't. But we stayed the course once we heard from God. Hallelujah. We knew that that's what we were supposed to do, and it's because of Him, and we give Him all the credit for it. He gets all the glory.
Yes.
That is that walking, talking, little sassy attitude miracle that we have. But we're so proud of her and so thankful for God. So it's when we realize that we have faith that we see things so much clearer as a part of God's kingdom. He works through us, you know. And more specifically, us living by faith. You've heard it said plenty of times, without God, we cannot. Without us, God will not. So it's important for us to be thinking about how God wants us to act, what God wants us to say, being aware of God's presence at all times. In James it says, faith without works is dead. And he says, show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. So it's important to be thinking about what you're doing. It's not that the works are going to save us or get us any better position in life, get us any better position when we get to heaven. But It's about heaven on earth right now, establishing God's kingdom on earth right now. In Matthew 10, verses 7, it says, "And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give." It's the kingdom of heaven. It's the kingdom of God. And it's now. All those things that I just read off, you can do. I can do. We all can do. Especially when we're out and about, not just here on Sunday mornings. So when we recognize our faith and we read God's word, all those things that it says we can do it. And I was getting ready this morning and this scripture popped in my head. I don't remember if I put it in the computer, Ashley, or not. I'm sorry if I didn't. But 1 Peter 1 and verse 3 starts out saying, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away and reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoiced, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, that it may be found to praise, honor, and glorify, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Of this salvation the prophets have inquired and searched carefully, who prophesied of the grace that would come to you, searching what or manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicated when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow." Wow. There's so much there that just bookmark that and go back and read it later. But the genuineness of your faith and how precious that is. We weren't redeemed by gold or silver. We were redeemed by the blood of Jesus. God sent Jesus here for us. As Pastor Rick said, we're about to start teaching through the book of Ephesians. And God's been telling us all kinds of things from Ephesians this year. In Ephesians 1, it starts out with plenty of "in him" statements. And those "in him" statements, you realize part of your identity in Christ. Yes. You realize part of the promises that God has for us because of Jesus Christ. And what great exchange we had because of Jesus Christ. And as your faith arises, you'll start personalizing what God says to you. When Paul writes to the church in Ephesus, "And may God give you," start writing your name whenever you see, "May God give you," start writing your name in your Bible. Start personalizing what God's word says about you, because it's true. Yes. And as your faith arises, you'll realize it even more. God's going to use us all in these times coming. And I'll say God may be stirring some things that he's already told you in months past, in years past, You know, we just came off of having Jeff and Nancy here a few months ago, and some of those prophetic words that they may have given you either this time or the previous time they were here, or even some of the other prophetic words that may have come forth throughout other times that we've gathered. If you guys had a CD that was made from that, go back and listen to it. Because that was God talking to you. Amen. And it's so easy for some of us to realize that there's, and think there was an expiration date on what he said and that was for then. But sometimes, like all those stories of faith from the Old Testament, so many of them may have reached out further than you thought it would. And God's not done with you. If you're 90 years old, God's not done with you. Maybe you guys are seeking a healing that you've been prayed for before, but you want us to just agree with you in faith. We're going to have a little bit of ministry time. I believe God's been telling me that we're going to have a little bit of ministry time this morning. Come forward. Don't worry. The meatloaf will wait. We'll all eat. There'll be plenty of food. If you guys are seeking for a healing, God is here ready to meet you now. And he's going to increase your level of faith this morning. So, Father, we thank you for the faith that you've given each and every person in this congregation. We thank you for the faith that you are increasing in every person here this morning, Lord. Lord, activate us as we go out and about in this community. Lord, activate us as we pray for people in this community to believe that they will receive and see what you have for them. Give us ears to hear you. Give us eyes to see you, Lord. We can't wait to see what you're going to do in this time. It's a wonderful time you've placed us in, Lord. I believe it's a divine time for each and every one of us. We give you all the glory and the thanks. In Jesus' name, amen.